Welcome back to the Deep Dive, everyone. Today, we're really digging into some quite profound ideas, concepts that I think offer genuine clarity, especially in, well, uncertain times like these.
Absolutely. And it's amazing how relevant they feel globally, whether you're listening in Guyana or Ghana, Trinidad or Toronto, these themes seem to be resonating everywhere.
They really do. So our mission for this deep dive, what we're focusing on, is summed up as wholehearted faith, anchored in God's peace in unsettled times. We're going to explore how the material we've looked at unpacks this idea that walking in God's peace isn't just something that happens by chance.
Right, not a happy accident.
Exactly. It's presented much more as a deliberate choice, something intentional that we can actively decide to do, regardless of what's going on around us.
A conscious decision.
And right at the core of this discussion is this central question from way back in Psalm 119, verse 9.
A classic.
It asks, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Now that sounds simple enough, but wow, it opens up so much, doesn't it? What does that really look like in practice?
It does. And what's striking is how our source material takes that question, which specifically mentions young people, and says, hang on, this isn't just for youth.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it positions it as more of a timeless guide for navigating any stage of life, really. It emphasizes that universal application, a kind of blueprint for staying steady no matter your age.
Okay, so it's broader than it first appears.
Definitely. And if we zoom out a bit, this whole discussion connects to a larger theme, a bigger picture of divine protection. The source actually calls this episode 9 of our Psalm 91 journey.
Ah, right. Part of that series.
Exactly. So for listeners familiar with that, this piece is vital because it gets into the how. How do you actually do the dwelling in the shelter of the Most High that Psalm 91 talks about?
It's the practical application.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Even the opening prayer in the material we studied, it's quite revealing. It asks for alignment, heart, mind, steps all aligned with this teaching, aiming for steadfastness, peace, and this idea of undivided loyalty. It's about a whole internal shift.
That connection to Psalm 91 is really helpful. So, Psalm 91 gives us this incredible promise of God's protection for those who, dwell in Him. Then this teaching from Psalm 119.9, it's like the instruction manual, the how-to for actually living in that protected space. It's not just a promise floating out there, it's a path you walk.
That's a great way to put it, a path you walk. And the core reflection from the material is, well, pretty blunt. You can't have God's peace without God's way.
Simple but profound.
It is. It's not just about rules for rules' sake. It's framed as recognizing that God's methods are like the design specifications for us to thrive.
Okay, like trying to operate something against its intended design.
Exactly. Trying to find real lasting peace outside of that design, it's like building something complex without the instructions. It might look okay for a bit, but it won't hold up under pressure. And this concept of wholeheartedness is presented as the vital link, the bridge, really, between God's promise of protection and actually experiencing it. It's the active ingredient, you could say.
Wholeheartedness. I like that term. Our material defines it pretty clearly. Living without divided loyalty, pulling from Mark 12:30, loving God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength.
All of it, no holding back.
So it's about complete devotion, a fixed heart, as the material puts it, just unwavering, totally committed.
And the source gives such a powerful example, Daniel in Babylon.
Oh, Daniel, right.
Here he is, immersed in this pagan, often hostile culture, yet he maintains this incredible peace. He even thrives. And why? Because his heart was fixed.
Fixed on God despite everything around him.
Precisely. It speaks to this deep internal resilience. And what's really fascinating is thinking about how that concept, a fixed heart, applies right now, today, to finding stability in whatever challenging environment we might be in.
That internal anchor.
Yes, it suggests our inner state is key, maybe even more than the outer circumstances.
And goodness knows we need that inner resilience now. The material really connects this need for peace to what's happening globally, doesn't it?
It does, very directly.
Mentioning things like natural disasters hitting the Caribbean and South Asia, the economic pressures families are feeling everywhere, social unrest, political divides. It really paints a picture of a world feeling quite unsettled.
It's a realistic picture, unfortunately. And a key insight the source offers here is just so powerful. Peace is not found in perfect circumstances, but in perfect trust.
Wow. Say that again?
Peace is not found in perfect circumstances, but in perfect trust.
That really shifts the focus.
It completely does. So if you're looking for stability when everything feels volatile, what does that mean? It implies that where you place your trust, your internal posture, that's far more critical than wishing for easier circumstances.
It's an inside-out kind of piece.
Exactly. An inside-out job.
Okay, so if wholeheartedness, this fixed heart, is the key, how does it actually work? How does it produce peace? Our source material kind of breaks it down.
It's practical.
It suggests, first, that focus, keeping your mind fixed, stabilizes you mentally. Second, obedience, living according to God's word, aligns you with his protection. And third, that deep trust actively silences fear.
It's like a three-strand cord: focus, obedience, trust.
And it sounds almost simple, but you can see how powerful that combination would be.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just a nice idea. The material grounds it firmly in Scripture. Isaiah 26, verse 3 is highlighted. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you.
Steadfast minds, that focus again.
Right. And what's really interesting there is the active role of the mind. Peace isn't passive. It's something cultivated through deliberate focus and unwavering trust. You actively keep your mind stayed on him.
It's an intentional practice, not just waiting for peace to happen to you.
Precisely. You partner with God in cultivating it.
And the material doesn't just leave it at concepts in scripture, right? It shares actual stories, testimonies.
Yes, which really brings it to life.
Like the story of the Caribbean storm survivor clinging to Psalm 91 through the disaster and finding unexpected help, provision right in the middle of the chaos.
Incredible story.
And then there's the African pastor whose church became this like oasis of refuge during civil unrest, a place of peace when everything outside was turmoil.
An animal sanctuary.
And also a European student struggling with anxiety who found relief and, well, peace through daily meditation on Psalm 119, just immersing in the word.
And these examples, they're so important because they show this isn't just theory, it's practical. It works. It shows the real-world impact of living this way, this wholehearted way, in incredibly different, often really difficult situations. It proves that peace can be a lived reality, even when things are falling apart around you.
Okay, so for listeners thinking, I want that kind of peace, that stability, what are the practical steps? What does the source suggest we do like daily?
It boils down to some pretty straightforward but powerful habits.
Like what?
Well, first, starting the day with scripture before turning on the news or checking your phone, intentionally setting your focus first thing.
Okay, getting grounded first makes sense.
Second, actually speaking God's promises out loud, declaring them over your situation, over your life. There's power in vocalizing truth.
Activating faith through speaking.
And third, and this is a big one today, limiting distractions. Purposefully carving out what the material calls Sabbath moments, even small pockets of time for quiet, for rest, for reconnecting with God away from the noise.
Those sound simple, but probably not easy to stick to consistently.
No, not easy. Which brings us back to that deliberate choice we talked about at the start.
Ah, right. It's intentionality again.
Exactly. The material presents these habits as concrete ways to actively, as it says, release anxiety and welcome God's peace. You're intentionally creating the space, the internal environment for God's peace to take root and grow. It's a daily commitment.
Anchoring your soul day by day.
That's it.
Now, thinking about this piece, is it just a personal internal thing? Or does the material suggest it has effects beyond just the individual?
Oh, definitely beyond the individual. That's a key point.
So, like, peace in your home affects your kids, peace at work influences colleagues, that kind of thing.
Precisely. If you connect this to the bigger picture, the source suggests that individual peace cultivated through this wholehearted walk doesn't stay contained. It sort of inevitably ripples outward.
Like a positive contagion.
Yeah, you could say that. It becomes this transformative force. Think of dropping a pebble in a pond. Those ripples of internal peace spread out, affecting your family, your relationships, your workplace, even your community leadership. It becomes a source of light and stability for others too.
That's a really encouraging thought. And kind of related to that, the material talks about wholeheartedness being a witness, right?
A powerful one.
Highlighting that when times are unstable, people notice when someone has an unusual stability, an unusual peace. And acts of kindness or compassion stemming from that peace can become doorways for sharing Christ.
Yes, it's a very practical form of witness. Not necessarily about preaching, but about living a peace that draws questions.
The lived testimony.
Exactly. And the material connects this to Philippians 4:7 and the peace of God, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What's so compelling there is how this internal reality, God's peace guarding your heart and mind, becomes externally visible.
People can see it.
Apparently so. It's not just a feeling you have, it's a quality that emanates from you, a quiet strength, a stability that people are drawn to, especially when they feel overwhelmed themselves. It speaks volumes.
Wow. Okay, so as we start to wrap up this deep dive, the core message seems really clear. This path of purity from Psalm 119.9, it isn't about achieving some kind of impossible perfection.
No, thank goodness.
Right. It feels much more about direction, about the daily choice to walk in God's word with an undivided heart, a whole heart.
Direction over perfection. I like that.
And this is how you anchor your soul. This is how you find that steadfastness, that peace, no matter what storms might be raging externally.
It really comes down to that internal shift, doesn't it? That change in loyalty and trust leading to this surprising external stability and peace, even when the world feels like it's in constant chaos.
Mm-hmm.
We really had explored how much agency we have in cultivating this.
We do.
So maybe a final thought for you listening. What really stands out to you about this idea? About choosing to cultivate a fixed heart in the middle of your own unpredictable moments. What did that look like for you?
That's a great question to reflect on. Let's hope we all find ourselves increasingly walking that path, you know, seeking whole hearts and anchored souls, letting God's peace rule and letting our lives reflect his steadfast love. The world certainly needs it.